Remaining Teachable as a Leader is the ministry session we're about to hear from Brother Dane Keeley. Brother Keeley teaches full-time in the Bible department at West Coast Baptist College and also leads the Family Ties Adult Bible class at Lancaster Baptist Church. This session was part of Spiritual Leadership Conference 2010, hosted by Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church.
All right, let's go ahead and get started, and we'll begin with a word of prayer, and looking forward to this session with you gentlemen, and I pray that the Lord uses it in your life. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be a part of your church. Lord, I thank you for each one of these men that are here, and I pray that you bless our time together this afternoon. Lord, may it be profitable. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would allow me to say the things that need to be said. And Lord, I pray that you would just fill us, Lord, to be used by you. Lord, be servants. Lord, what a joy it is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and his church. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be effective as leaders. And one of the ways that we can do that is by remaining teachable ourselves. And Lord, I pray that each one of us in our lives and ministries would continue to strive for the excellency, Lord, for the cause of Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. All right, gentlemen, if you would take your Bibles and turn with me to Proverbs chapter number, chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21. And again, my name is Dane Keeley. And just by way of introduction a little bit this afternoon, I have had the privilege of being here the past 8 years as part of the staff here at Lancaster Baptist Church. And of course, what a joy it is to serve the Lord in this place. And of course, many people have come and joined the team even since we've been here. And it's been a joy just to see those people come and God give the increase, not only in our church family, but also among our staff. And I appreciate the synergy and those that I work alongside of. And of course, I have the joy of teaching full-time in our college. And then, of course, traveling, representing the college, and some of the duties around here that will come out in the lecture today as far as my responsibilities here. One of the things that I'm sure you sense by now through pastors teaching and preaching is that mama around here is the church, and the church needs to stay strong. And as the church stays strong, then all the ministries that's a part of it. See, we don't consider the school another ministry. We don't consider the college another ministry. This is all Lancaster Baptist Church, and we consider it to be marvelous in our eyes what God's doing here. And so one of the things that I have found in my life, having now gone out into ministry and God's given me the opportunity to do a few other things, God then allowed us to come here like many other staff members, and God has put me in a position. I remember sitting here with Pastor, I guess it was probably the first time we came here just to pray about coming to this ministry. I remember Pastor asking me, he says, "Now, Brother Keeley, you have pastored before." And he said, "Would you ever find yourself, or do you think you'd ever find yourself back in the pastorate?" And I sensed what he was asking me, and this is how I answered that question, and I'd still answer it the same way today. I said, "Pastor," I said, "all I want to do is serve God." That's what I told him. I said, "I don't have a problem not being a pastor." I said, "Whatever God wants me to do, that's what I want to do." And I find that some men, they would never do anything other than what in their mind or in their heart they feel like that's what I need to be doing. Sometimes God has other plans for us. And I found that as I yield my life to the Lord, I find that God opens many more doors. God gives me more opportunities. And so I've just tried to remain in my life. I've tried to remain teachable and not be a hard head or full of pride and other things like that. So I want you to notice, here's something that I wanted to start with, and again, this is by way of introduction, but you know, when we talk about remaining teachable, really it deals with this. It deals with one word, guys. If you want to jot it down, it's the word attitude. You've got to have the right attitude. If your attitude is not what it ought to be, you know, Pastor talks a lot about what he calls stinking thinking. You ever heard that saying? You know, and sometimes that's the way our thinking is. It's not what it ought to be, and it's not Christ-like. And of course, we're not full of the Holy Spirit when we have the wrong attitude. And I was reading something this past week as I was considering, again, going over my notes for this lecture. And this is what somebody said, being a leader is not about competence, it's about attitude. It's the hunger to discover and grow. It's the hunger to learn and relearn. Did you catch that? Learn and relearn. He went on to say, to be a successful leader, the only skill you need to learn is to learn. That's the only skill you need to learn. If you want to be a successful leader for the Lord, you've got to learn how to learn. See, teachable people are fully engaged in life and in discovery. They're excited about things. They're always open to ideas and to new discussions. And most importantly, they are disciplined people. Now, that's one of the things that I know in my life I've had to learn, to be a little bit more disciplined than I was before. Truth was, before I came here to this ministry, I always felt like, in a way, not being prideful, but I always felt like I was kind of ahead of many of the people that I knew in ministry, people that I was around, my contemporaries. But when I came here, I realized how far behind I was. And I realized how much more. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't know if you're all assistant pastors or if you're a lay person in your church or what your role is in your ministry, but I'll tell you this much. I am glad. Now, listen. I'm glad for a pastor who stretches me. I'm glad for it. See, when you get comfortable, that's dangerous. That's what Bobby Robertson was talking about this morning. In our lives and ministries, look, all of us, if we allow ourselves to be pushed and stretched by the Holy Spirit and by the man of God God's put in our lives, then we'll find that we'll be able to attain things that we never thought we could before. But that's not going to come by being comfortable. We've got to be willing to learn. And so he went on to say, this man went on to say that a leader knows he still has much to learn, even if others consider him to be an expert in his field. Now, I know a lot of people, and there are certain things that are their forte. They are an expert in that area or in that field. But see, someone who's a learner, they still haven't arrived. They're still realizing in their life that there is still much to learn. A loser wants to be considered an expert by others because he has learned enough to know how little he knows. He's kind of like the Bible college freshman. You know, that's what he's like. You know, so when we think about it, it says there's so much to learn before one realizes how little one truly knows. I remember years ago when I was in Bible college, a man by the name of Frank Sells from Greenville, South Carolina, who was probably in his 80s, came to the college and he was teaching in the college. And I remember that man who did not have one hair on his head was wearing a suit that was probably from the 70s. Had told me that when he was 20, his dad, who was a millionaire, told him, he said, Frankie, he says, I'll promise you, if you never deviate and you promise me you'll study the Bible every day of your life, you'll never have to work your entire life. What a deal, huh? That man had studied the Bible over 60 years. This is what he said. He said, I find that the more I study God's Word, the less I know. That's what he said. We are never going to reach the bottom of the riches that God's Word has for us. We can give our whole life to it, and I think we should, and it's a tremendous calling. But every one of us have room to learn and to grow. We've got to remain teachable. That's just all there is to it. You see, if you can't be teachable, having talent won't help you. If you can't be teachable, you can have all the talent. Maybe you're a great singer. Look, Brother Furso, who just taught the last session, Brother Furso is probably, as far as people I know personally, outside of maybe Dr. Ouellette and Pastor Chapel, he is probably one of the greatest personal soul winners that I know. But just his talent doesn't allow him to be the personal soul winner that he is. He himself has remained teachable. I have pastored and I have sat with Brother Furso and had Brother Furso teach me how to be a better soul winner. I want to be able to reach more souls. I've got to remain teachable. I can't do things on my own talent. I need the Lord. See, remember, it's what you learn after you know everything that's important. Let me say that one again. Some of you guys are staring at me. It's what you learn after you know everything that's important. Now, when we think about remaining teachable, here's really what we're talking about today, guys. We're talking about continuing to be willing to learn. Write that down. To continue to be willing to learn. Now, I figure that you're sitting here, so that's a pretty good sign. You're willing to learn. And you have to continue. We're talking about remaining teachable in your attitude. You see, this matter of being teachable or becoming teachable is a process. The Bible talks about it this way, line upon line, precept upon precept. You've got to start somewhere. And once you get the momentum going, then you need to continue to learn in your life. Now, there's plenty of verses in the Bible. I've given you a couple by way of introduction. Job, I don't know if that one's there. Job 6:24. If not, you can jot the reference down. This is what Job said, "Teach me and I will hold my tongue and cause me to understand wherein I have erred." Teach me, cause me to understand. Psalm 25:4. "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths." Show me. Teach me. Psalm 27:11. "Teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies." Again, notice, teach me, lead me. Psalm 143:10. "Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness." Now, did you happen to notice out of those four verses, and I could have picked others, guys, there's two things that are connected right there. One of it was teach, and the other one was lead. You see, God will teach us, but He doesn't just teach us, He leads us. Do you know what a pastor does? A pastor will teach the precepts of the Word of God, and then a true Bible pastor will lead his flock to do that which he's taught them to do. If you're going to be a leader, you have to be teachable, and then what God teaches you, then you have to go out and model and lead and be an example to the believers. You see, Pastor Chapel, I stand, this isn't my classroom on Sunday mornings, my adult Bible class that I teach, but I teach on the third floor over in this corner in room 302. When I stand there on Sunday mornings, listen to me, I'm standing there for one reason, because Pastor Chapel can't be in every room. He can't teach every class. I'm standing there in his stead. So what I've got to do is I've got to be teachable. A lot of times pastor might say, "Brother Keeley, this is what I want you to teach this Sunday." He might tell that to all of the adult Bible teachers through maybe Brother Christensen. And as he tells that to us, then look, it's not my place with my attitude to say, "Well, I'm going to teach what I want. This is my class." No, no, no. I've got to remain teachable. And as I am being taught, then I need to teach others, and then I need to lead them. That's what we're finding here in the Scriptures. I remember when I was younger, as I began to go into my adult years and starting out in my 20s, I was a construction worker. I did drywall work for about, almost 20 years total. And I remember I started working with my father, who had already been in the trade for some 25 years when I began. I remember that as my father would go to work, that my dad, you know the saying, old school? My dad did everything old school. If it was above where he could reach, he had these wooden benches that he would use. And when I started working, I started noticing some of the younger guys were using something called stilts. Now, they weren't stilts like I had when I was a kid, little wooden things. They were aluminum stilts, and they were adjustable. And so I remember thinking to myself, I'd watch my dad and I'd watch how he got work done, but I watched how much work he got done. Then I began to watch some of these other guys who were working and how much easier it was working on those stilts than getting up and down off that bench. And so I began, and I walked around like Frankenstein for a couple weeks. And I mean, I struggled, but eventually I got the hang of it. Then I remember telling my dad, "You need to get a pair of these." Now, he was probably 53, 54 years old. And I convinced my dad, who I found to be refreshing, that my own father in his 50s was teachable by his son, and he said, "Okay." Now, it took him a little longer to get the hang of it than it did me, but nonetheless, he began to use those. In your life, doesn't matter how old you are, gentlemen, young or old here today, we have to remain teachable. We have to say, "Whatever it is, God, you want me to do." Now, you and I play that game, "Lord, I can't do that." And you're right, you can't. "Lord, I've never done that before." You're right, you've never done that before. But if you remain teachable, then somebody can show you, and then with God's help, you can do it. We've got to stay teachable. Now, a couple things here. Here's a verse in Luke 11:1. You know this verse. "It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place,
when he ceased, this is talking about Jesus, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. I always appreciated the fact the disciples made a lot of mistakes, but the one thing I appreciated about it was they had that attitude, Lord, teach us, show us. And in your life, that's what you and I have to do. God, show me, teach me what I need to be doing. Help me to be that way. So in your outline, notice here that what we've got to do is everything I've been talking about so far is this matter of start with God. We've got to start with God. And as we start with God, the Bible says in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools despise wisdom. You and I need godly wisdom in our lives. We've got to start with God. See, no matter how intelligent we are or how much education we have, there is always room for us to learn. I get into some men's offices and on our campus and other places, and I see quite a few diplomas. I had the privilege of hanging pastor's diploma in his office up on the third floor of the administration building, and he's got a couple diplomas hanging up there. But I appreciate the fact that my pastor is always telling us, and we see him whenever somebody like Bobby Robertson or somebody like David Gibbs or Dr. R.B. Ouellette, whether they're younger or older, pastor realizes I can learn something from that person. And every time he tells a story, there's a couple gentlemen in here from staff, they could tell you the same thing. When Dr. Hiles would come here, pastor would go down to the airport, and yes, he wanted to pick up Dr. Hiles, and yes, he wanted to fellowship with him on the way back up from the airport, but the biggest reason why he went was because he took a yellow notepad full of questions. And he would ask Dr. Hiles questions all the way up the 405 and up the 14 because he wanted to learn. I mean, you're talking to a man who's done the work of God. Of course, now he's with the Lord. But see, he's always remained in his life and his ministry. He's remained teachable. You and I have to start with God. It doesn't matter how much education we have. There's always room to learn more things. See, no one has all the answers. Only the mind of God can make that claim. God has all the answers. We don't. So we find that we've got to start with God. See, to truly follow Jesus, we must be forever willing to learn, to be faithful students to the way that Christ points us. I mean, think about it. I mean, there were times in the Apostle Paul's life where he didn't fully understand what God was doing, but he just went in the way that God pointed him. And God directed his life, and we too have to remain teachable in our lives. Now, if you have your Bible open to Proverbs 21, verse 11, look what it says here with this verse, and I'm going to use this verse to bridge out into the rest of the lesson here. We find in Proverbs 21, 11 about remaining teachable, it says, when the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. Now, really what we're looking at here is three types of people that are mentioned in this verse. We're looking at people who are mentioned by name here as scorners. We're looking at people who are mentioned as simple. And then we see those that are wise are the ones that are instructed. Now, there are three types of people here, but really what we're talking about is not three types of people. Remember the word you wrote down to begin with, the word attitude? Because that's really what we're talking about here is three types of attitudes, not really three types of people. We're talking, now these are the people you're going to run into, but I'm hoping that the category you fit into, and by the way, you do fit into one of these categories. Now, you need to search your heart, and I'm sure that by the end of this lecture, you'll know which category you fit into. But we find here three different types of attitude. Here's a quote, it's not in your notes, but if you want to write it down, pastor says it here a lot, there's a few of you here that know this one. The quote is this, attitude determines, anybody know? Altitude. Your attitude determines altitude. How high you rise for God is going to be determined by your attitude. What's your attitude towards ministry? Now, again, I know I'm kind of preaching the choir. You guys have carved time out of your schedule to come to this conference. Unless somebody made you come. I don't know. Maybe your wife made you come. I don't know. But you're here. That means that you've got somewhat of a good attitude because you're here. Now, the thing is wherever you are, all of us, remember what I said, we have room to learn. We all can rise higher for the Lord, every one of us. So our attitude is what's important. Now, here's three attitudes that are mentioned in Proverbs 21:11. Look at the verse again. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. Now, here's the first thing that we see is have you arrived? We're talking about these three types of attitudes. Have you arrived? Now, in this particular verse, again, what we're talking about here is we're talking about this individual that is identified as a scoffer. As a scoffer. Now, a scoffer is one who treats another with ridicule. They ridicule people. They deride people. See, there are some people, when it comes to remaining a learner and wanting to go on and learn more in their lives and remain teachable, they scoff at things. They deride people. You've heard Pastor and some others that have already spoken at our conference here how some people, all they do is they want to ridicule and criticize things that are going on. Now, again, I'm sure that if you're from the East Coast and you're here, people everywhere need to be saved. People everywhere need to be reached with the gospel. Look, our message here has not changed, but I realize we're ministering in the state of California. And a lot of times people have different mindsets about what California is. When it comes to our building, our auditorium, I'll be honest with you. First time I visited out here, I didn't come from a church that had screens. I didn't know anything about them other than when we had missionaries, we'd pull a screen down and we'd watch slides from our missionaries. I have never seen our screens in our auditorium used for the wrong thing. But a lot of people criticize or ridiculed Pastor for doing something like that, where again, he's ministering to people, reaching people with the gospel. You can't, when you look at what's going on here, it's because there's a man of God who has remained teachable in his spirit, and he's using what God's given him to reach people with the same message that they're reaching people in Virginia and Louisiana and all around the world. But see, there's always going to be scoffers everywhere you go. Now, guys, I hope this is the one category you don't fit into. Okay? And if it is, look, I can't change you. Your pastor can't change you, but the Holy Spirit of God can. See, we ought not to be scoffers. Some people who are scoffers, they just feel like, hey, I've arrived. I know everything about everything. And see, really what we're talking about here is we're talking about people, letter A, that feel like they're superior. This attitude of superiority, think about this. It's not a sin against man. It's a sin against a holy God. That's what it is. I mean, the disciples, they wanted to know who was going to be the greatest. And Jesus used a child to illustrate. In our lives, look, none of us are superior. John 15, 12, this is my commandment, Jesus said, that ye love one another. Listen, as I have loved you. We're not greater than anyone else. Look, I'm standing behind this lectern today. This is a privilege for me, but I'm no more special than you. Because we put a suit and tie on doesn't make us better than someone else. As Jesus loved us, we ought to love others. And we ought not to have this attitude of being superior as a scoffer would be. Notice also, not only are they superior, but they're proud. They have this matter of pride in their lives. See, these are people, write this down, they're unable to recognize their own error. Someone who is proud is unable to recognize their own error. I mean, you can't talk to them, right? You've tried. They're wrong about something, and you try to help them in a godly way. You try to approach them the way that you should, but in their eyes, they're not wrong. You can't tell them they're wrong. They won't listen to you. These are people who won't recognize their own error. They're unwilling to receive instruction. Occasionally I get a few Bible college students, and they come to college, and we're glad they're here. But the truth is it's evident in their attitude and their spirit when they come to class. It's almost like, go ahead, try to teach me. And I see that in churches. When I pastored, I had people sitting 5 feet in front of my pulpit with their arms folded going, yeah, go ahead, try. We've got to get over this matter of pride, gentlemen. It will ruin your ministry. It'll hurt you from being teachable. We've got to remain teachable. How we receive correction is a gauge of our attitude, how you receive it. Listen to Proverbs 9:8. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. rebuke a wise man and he will love thee. Did you hear that? You rebuke a wise man and he's going to say, thank you. There's been times where Pastor Chapel has come to me and very nicely, but right in my face, told me I did something I did wrong. And you know what I've learned in my life? And by the way, it's not just words. I've tried to make it my spirit is, you're right, Pastor. Thank you for helping me with that. And I've tried to be that way, but I'm going to tell you something. I wasn't always that way, gentlemen. In our lives, we've got to remain teachable. See, a scoffer is one who feels superior in his life, who is prideful. Scoffers are people who are not teachable. See, when someone loves someone, they're going to correct them. I mean, you love them enough to correct them. Some of you in here, by your age or by the look on your face, you're married, you have children probably. And in your life, just like in my life, you know, you probably heard that saying, you know, as a child, you know, I love you and that's why I'm spanking you. It hurts me more than it hurts you. And the kids always laugh like, yeah, right, you know. But the truth is, I love my children and that's why I chasten them. God loves us. That's why he deals with us as sons. We find that in our lives, when we receive rebuke as a wise person, we need to accept that, and you will accept it if you remain teachable. If you're not teachable, you're going to push that away because you know everything. You are far superior. You fit into this category as a scoffer. Here's the second one back from that Proverbs 21:11. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. See, the first statement that I gave you was, have you arrived? Here's the second one. Have you left? Have you arrived? Now I'm going to ask you, have you left? Here we're talking about that person who is the simple person. And when we talk about this matter of being simple, we see two aspects of this person who is simple. Here's the first one is they are people who are untaught. They're untaught. See, they're made to see with their eyes that those attitudes and actions deserve punishment, which brings them to the knowledge of what is right and wrong. You know, sometimes in our lives, when that correction comes, it shows us where we were simple, we were untaught. Do you know if God has showed you something by His Holy Spirit and you've seen something in the Word of God that you're accountable for everything God has shown to you? See, there's a difference between stupidity and ignorance. You can't claim ignorance if God's shown you something. You have been taught. And so as we find people who are simple, these are people who are not only untaught, but here's a word you probably have heard is the word naive. Someone who is naive, these are people who should learn from the mistakes that others have made and try not to repeat those. I mean, in your life, I'm sure that you've already made some mistakes of your own. But imagine how much better your ministry from this point on will be if you watch and you learn from others. See, if you remain teachable, you'll see the mistakes others make, and then you won't make those same mistakes also. When I was in Bible college, we had a day in one of our classes where the instructor told us, he said, next time we get together, we're gonna baptize each other. And all the young guys, I was a married college student, and all the young guys with the zeal, they were all excited about this, you know. And so he said, now when you come, guys, he said, just wear an old pair of jeans, wear a t-shirt, and we'll take turns practicing baptizing each other. So everybody was going to baptize someone else. We were going to partner up. And I remember the next time we got together, we met, and the instructor told all the guys before we went back to the baptistry rooms, he says, I want you to look around. I want you to find somebody about your size, somebody that it will be easier for you to baptize, you know, weight, height, so on. So all these young guys started grabbing everybody. Well, there were two old fossils in that classroom, me and one other guy. So we looked at each other and said, hey, looks good to us. And so we figured we'd be easier on each other, wouldn't break anything. And so all these young guys, they immediately said, oh, we're ready. And they all ran into the baptistry rooms and lined up. And me and this other gentleman, John, we sat out there in the auditorium. They were in the church sanctuary, main baptistry. They were baptizing each other. And I'm telling you, the water is coming up over the glass. They're body slamming people. And we just sat there and watched them. We, you know, almost laughing at some of the stuff that they were doing. And the instructor, every time he'd say to them, look, when you take them down, you need to make sure that you hold them or put your hand up or this or that. And he's given every one of them instruction. By the time all these guys went through, of course, now the baptistry is only about half full of water. But we walked up and walked down the steps. And so I don't remember which one of us went first, but I said to John, I said, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bearing the likeness of his death, raising the likeness of his resurrection. And then I turned and John baptized me, and we turned around, looked at the instructor, and this is what he said. Have you guys baptized before? I said, never have. He said, how about you, John? Have you ever baptized before? And he says, no, never have. And he looked at all these young guys and said, that's how you're supposed to do it right there. Now, I'm not saying we were better than them, but you know what we did? We went to school on all those young guys. Right. Let them make the mistakes. Amen. Now, I'm sure every one of you would like to avoid trouble as much as possible. And so one thing you could do is not be naive. You need to learn from the mistakes of others. And by the way, there's going to be others out there that are going to learn. And some people are going to learn from your mistakes. But see, the simple is one who is untaught, they're one who is naive, and again, they should learn from the mistakes of others and try not to repeat those. Now, here's the third kind of people. We talked about people who were scoffers, people who were simple, but if I go back to that verse again, it says, when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. Now, here's the question, are you waiting? We're talking about remaining teachable now. Now, I'm going to go to school on you guys here. Brother Coates might know this word, but I'm going to give you a big word here. This is a Dr. R. $50 word right here. Okay, so this word, I had to find an S. This is sapiential is the word. And here's what it means, guys. Write it down. Sapiential means characterized by wisdom. It's someone who practices wisdom in their life, godly wisdom that only comes from above. See, they're not a person who's a scoffer who ridicules others. They're not a person who is simple and naive and making all kinds of mistakes. This is someone who is a wise person, maybe someone who has been dealt with, maybe someone who has had to learn something and had the right spirit, had the right attitude towards the things that they were taught. And so someone who is waiting, who is teachable, who is waiting for God to work in their lives is someone who understands. Now, to understand means that they're willing to receive knowledge from the instruction. You know what another word from instruction is? Correction. When you're instructed, a lot of times, it's when you're being corrected. I've seen it happen in elementary children and high school students and in college students and staff and faculty. Is oftentimes, there's correction that comes in our lives. And it, again, remember that gauge is how you receive that correction. How do you receive that correction? In your life, it's going to come. A lot of people say, I want to be a pastor because I don't have to answer to anybody. Really? You know, it's not so easy being on the top rung of the ladder. We find that people who understand are ready to receive, they're willing to receive that instruction. They have the attitude of listening without reacting in anger. The attitude of listening without reacting in anger. Now, one of the things that I appreciate about Pastor, I brought a few of these things with me, and you probably won't find these in our bookstore, and I believe you gentlemen understand what I'm about to say here. Is you understand that there are some things out there that are helpful materials, but we would not necessarily condone or agree with everything that's in those books, right? Are we all spiritual enough to understand that? We need to be discerning about certain things in our lives. And one of the things I appreciate about Pastor is Pastor, again, is always trying to help me to be a better leader. Well, the only way I'm going to do that is to receive the correction, the instruction he gives to me as my pastor. So there's times where Pastor has passed on a few things to me. Here's a book called Getting Things Done. I mean, as a leader, I need to know how to get things done in the ministry and in my life. Now, again, this is written not necessarily from a ministry standpoint. There's a lot of great principles in here to be becoming a better leader. And this is something that my pastor gave to me and said, Brother Keeley, I want you to read this book. Really, what he's saying is, I want you to learn something. Here's another one. Pastor gave me this book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Powerful lessons in personal change. You see, we've got to be willing to change. We've got to receive the correction, the instruction in our lives. Here's another good book. Now again, you're not going to find these in our bookstore. That doesn't mean they're bad books, but they're really written more from maybe a corporate standpoint, but there's a lot of principles right here that will help you. Here's another book here, just the title alone, Good to Great. I mean, I think that if we serve a great God, then I think everything about ministry, everything we're involved in, ought to be something for God's glory. And in your life and mine, you know, my pastor said, look, Brother Keel, I want you to read this. It says right here, why some companies make the leap and others don't. Now, I'll be honest with you, this book here is not the most readable, it's not the most exciting book, but I've learned some stuff from it. I'm about half or three quarters way through this book. And by the way, when I get done with this book, you know what I'm going to do with it? I'm going to actually type out and give Pastor some things I learned from this book. I think that if he's my boss, if he's my pastor, and he gave this to me, then I ought to at least be able to show him that I read it and I got something from it. See, you know what he's doing? He's investing in me. And that's what your pastor, I'm sure, wants to do in your life. Why? Because if you become a better leader, you're going to help him. You're going to help the ministry. Pastor, your pastor wants you to become the leader God wants you to be. So we find here that someone who understands is someone who's willing to receive that instruction, maybe sometimes correction, and they have the right attitude. They're going to listen without reacting in anger. Here's another thing is that person who is wise, the sapiential, not only understands, but he also practices. What's the Bible say? Not to just be a hearer of the word, but what? Be a doer. See, it's almost like it's cut off right there. This matter of practicing. It's evident when a sports team doesn't practice. I mean, you can see it. A lot of times our sports program, it doesn't come before our spiritual aspect for our children, and it doesn't come before the academic. You see, around here, it's spiritual, and then it's academic, and then it's athletic. See, a lot of places have got that out of order there. But see, a lot of times, I feel sorry for our kids because we place such a stress on the spiritual life. Look, playing football, flag football, tackle football is great. I'm all for it. I played it myself. But that's not going to get them through life. Staying in God's Word and knowing, having a personal walk with God and being instructed and being teachable by God's Holy Spirit, that's what's going to help them get through the Christian life. But see, they've got to practice it. And a lot of times I'll see our high school team go out and they'll just get mauled by some team. And then I'll find out, like the one team we play in basketball, they play basketball year round. All year they play basketball. And I don't feel bad about it. You know what our kids do all year? They go soul winning. Our teens go soul winning. You know, I'll tell you what, I think that's going to please God way more than practicing basketball 3 days a week. Again, I'm not against it. I love sports. But I'm telling you, when it comes to the Christian life, if we're going to be teachable people in God's eyes, we've got to practice. Listen to what a person who practices is one who meditates on the instruction. They've been given the instruction. They meditate on it. I mean, they sit there and they think about it, they chew that over, then they test the instruction. Write that down. They meditate on it, then they test it. Now, what does the Bible say? Search the what? Scriptures. I'm not talking about being critical to your pastor's preaching, but I'm telling you that there are times in your life where you have to receive what God's trying to teach you. And you have to sit there and think about it, meditate upon it, and then what you've got to do from that point on is you've got to test it. Now, when you test it, you know what you're going to find is that if it is good, you're going to find that you should accept it and then apply it. Write those two words down. Accept it and then apply it. See, someone who is going to understand it begins to practice what they're being taught, they're being teachable. And when they find that it is good for them because it's from God's Word, maybe it's from the pastor, then what they're going to do is they're going to accept that into their lives and then they're going to apply it. Our pastor, a lot of times, will talk about how people go through three stages. They go through rejection, tolerance, and acceptance. You ought to write those words down. I'm going to tell you, I've seen those happen so many times in my life in ministry. Rejection, tolerance, and acceptance. You see, when you try to introduce something to your ministry, whatever it is God's given you, people by nature are going to reject that. That means work. That means I'm going to have to get more involved. That means, are you teachable? Are you remaining teachable? And I've even seen staff, even myself, at times where pastor will introduce something to us. If you were here on Sunday night, man, the vision pastor shared for this coming year. And a lot of people came up and said, wow, you guys are going to be busy. You know what? I was already on board. I already knew pastor had his guns loaded before I even went to church Sunday night. You know, I knew that God had already put all these things in his heart. I just didn't know what it was. And I'm going to tell you, I'm way beyond rejection. Now, there's times where I have to maybe tolerate it in my life, but what I need to do as a staff member and as a member of this church is I've got to get beyond tolerance to where I've accepted it. I make it mine. And in your life, if you're going to receive the instruction, then once you accept it, then you're going to begin to apply it. That's just a matter of practicing. Now, where are you at? Are you a scoffer? Or are you simple in your thinking, in your thought process, in this matter of being teachable? Or are you someone that is sapiential? Are you someone who is applying with wisdom what God's teaching you by His Holy Spirit? In your notes here, I think I put down how to glorify God while remaining teachable. How can you bring glory to God by remaining teachable while you're going through this time? Because, see, the truth is, wisdom is available to everyone. It's not something that this person can have and this person can't have. According to the Bible, wisdom is available to all people. And there's three ways of receiving wisdom so that by having this precious commodity, the wisdom that only God can give, it's through that wisdom that we can glorify God and really bless others. That's what I want to do with my life is glorify God and try to help other people, bless other people's lives. And we can do that while we remain teachable. Now, here's those three ways. One is, notice here, that we can glorify God while remaining teachable through prayer. Through prayer. You see, you can receive wisdom through prayer. Prayer is that proper frame of both your mind and your heart in unison together, your mind, your heart, thinking together. James put it this way. He says, if any of you lack what, gentlemen? Wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. Now, the word liberally means plentifully. God has more wisdom to give than you can even handle. He wants to give you wisdom. And the Bible also says there, not only will He give to all men liberally, but He upbraideth not. Now, that's interesting. To upbraid not means that God doesn't reproach us or chide us for past conduct. In other words, we all make mistakes in the past. Aren't you glad God doesn't hold that against you? But if you remain teachable, you know what's going to happen? God's going to give you plenty of wisdom in the days ahead. Even with the mistakes that you've made, God's not going to hold that against you. And the Bible says here at the end of that promise in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, it shall be given him. But you have to do one thing, ask. That's all you have to do, prayer. See, one way we can glorify God while we remain teachable is through prayer. We find that another thing in our lives is that wisdom does not replace God. Think about this. We should still be seeking God's will through prayer and supplication in everything we do. Wisdom doesn't replace God. God gives wisdom so that we can do the things that He wants us to do. See, one way we can glorify Him is through prayer. Another one is that we can glorify Him through the Word. See, when we remain teachable, now I mentioned this earlier about this matter of being willing to be instructed. Proverbs chapter 1, the first five verses, here it is. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. I'll never forget when I was pastoring and I was having some difficult times in my ministry, and I remember thinking to myself, Lord, what should I do and how should I handle this? Now, I don't know what you would do in that situation, but I know what my Bible teaches me is that I should get godly counsel. So I called six men who were men that had 15 or more years in the ministry as a pastor. Now think about this, gentlemen. What good would it do me and the work that God had given me if I called them and then I did not tell them the truth? I slanted what was going on. I'm not going to get the counsel that God wants me to have. See, a wise person will be truthful in all things. So I shared with them exactly what was happening because I wanted to receive from them what God wanted me to get. And by the way, I spent that time receiving that, praying over that, and then acting upon that counsel that God gave me, and God blessed that. That's what God will do in your life. You see, we can receive wisdom through the Word of God. We need to be willing to be instructed. Reading God's Word will help us to become wiser, to know what is pleasing to Him and what is not, and learning how we ought to conduct ourselves. That's why, gentlemen, you've got to be in God's Word every day of your life. And I'll be honest with you, I know it's a struggle sometimes. I travel on the road a lot for our ministry here, and I'm telling you, there are some days where there's so much going on in the morning, it's like, I know I need to do this, I know I need to do this. And I'm a morning person. I'm up before the sun comes up. And I still find that the morning hours just go by so fast, but I know that when I receive something from God in the morning, that wisdom God gives me helps me make it through that day. I need to be teachable. You need to be teachable. We can receive that wisdom through the Word of God. We can receive it through prayer. Thirdly, we can receive wisdom through the Spirit. You heard it said, I don't know which man it was, maybe it was my pastor, said that we ought to obey every impulse of the Holy Spirit. You ever had some, you're out knocking doors, and you know, sometimes we get this mindset, I'm knocking doors. Really? So you're out there trying to win doors to Christ? You walk right past the postman who just pulled up to put mail in the box to go to the house. And you knock the door, and 9 times out of 10, nobody's home anyway. You just walk past a soul that Christ died for. And the Holy Spirit said to you, go talk to him. And you're like, nope, I got to get this door. Now, we all laugh about it, but we've all done it. We've got to obey every impulse of the Holy Spirit. We need to receive that wisdom. 1 Corinthians 12:8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Did you catch that? The word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, they come from the same Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God helps us to receive the wisdom that we need. See, wisdom is one of those gifts that are listed as the gifts of the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that teaches us all things and blesses us with those gifts that God wants us to use for Him. We can't earn those gifts. They're given to us by His Holy Spirit. Now, when you boil all this down, gentlemen, by way of conclusion, here it is. Our hearts, your heart and mine, have to remain teachable. You cannot be like that soil, that ground, that has become so hardened. You've got to break it up. Let God's Holy Spirit stir you up so that you can receive the engrafted Word of God. Here's another thing. We need our hearts to trust God to provide us with wisdom. How's that going to happen? Because we've got to come to Him and we've got to ask Him for it. I talked about that earlier. We've got to ask. Here's another thing. We need to make sure that we do not rely on our own understanding. If you're going to be teachable, you've got to get beyond yourself. What a great message this morning Bobby Robertson brought. You know, simple, so profound. He could have just continued with that first point of dying to self. Because, guys, look, that'll solve most problems in our lives. We rely so much on ourselves. You know, I'm a creature of habit. If I went to the pulpit like Dr. R.B. Ouellette did the other day without notes, I don't know if I'll know what to preach. But you know, if I've done my part and I've studied, you know, all I have to do is give it to God. He'll do the rest. And in your life, we've got to get beyond relying on our own understanding. And then here's another thing, is we need to be teachable and be sensitive again to those whisperings, those small things that the Holy Spirit of God. I mean, I don't hear a voice when the Holy Spirit speaks to me, but I understand that it is God's Holy Spirit that's trying to help me to be teachable, to remain teachable in my lives. Now, at the bottom of your paper, wherever you have room, and I didn't put it on my PowerPoint, but I want you to write it with as an acrostic, these three letters, H, right underneath of it, write the letter O, and the word underneath of it, I want you to write the letter W. So it spells out the word how. How. And I'm going to give you how you can learn to be teachable. Here it is, right here. How you can learn to be teachable. This is just free, okay? The letter H, write the word honesty. If you want to remain teachable, you have got to be honest with God and with yourself. Honesty. The letter O, write this down, gentlemen. Open-mindedness. Open-mindedness. Hey, maybe you came here with some preconceived notions about what God has for you or this conference or this ministry or whatever it is in your life. When you open your mind and you open your heart, it's amazing what God can do. So you got to be honest. You got to be open-minded if you're going to be teachable. And here's the W, willingness. Say, how can I learn to be teachable, Brother Keeley? Honesty, open-minded, and willingness. Now, here's one thing that I'll just share with you, and I am plugging here a little bit, but it's a good example, is you've heard them talk about this cruise. Now, I'm not getting any kickback from this, okay, just so that you know. But how many of you think it would be a bonus if you encouraged your pastor or encouraged your church family to send your pastor and his wife on something like this? Now, some of you just need to get to the place where God, by His Holy Spirit, is keeping you teachable enough to where not only you're blessing other people, but you're blessing the man of God and his wife and his family. You know, this is a great way to do that. There's other ways. Remember his birthday. Remember his anniversary. Whatever it is in your life. Look, guys, I really believe with all my heart that every one of you are here today because you want to remain teachable. And God has so many things for us if we would just stay a student. Don't worry about graduating. That's when you get to heaven. Just stay tender and let God teach you by His Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this session. Pray that You bless each one of these men in the ministry that You've given them. Lord, use them for Your honor and glory. Help us all to be moldable in Your hands, to stay on the wheels. Lord, You are the potter, we're the clay. Lord, may we be teachable in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. If you have any questions, I'll be around for a couple minutes.
We trust this ministry workshop session was a blessing to you. Plan now to join us in the second week of July for Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011 as Lancaster Baptist Church celebrates 25 years of ministry. Let us know if there is any way we can be a blessing to you.